Next, we would like to discuss some fundamental equations describing conduction in solids. So to do that, let's consider a rectangular piece of solid, and one end of this solid is at some temperature T1, and the other is at some temperature T2, so we have this temperature differential between the two ends. So we've learned that there is this rule of the universe, temperature equilibrium. If there is a temperature differential, there will be conduction from the hot side to the cold side, so that we have all the atoms in the solid are happy, they all feel equal. All right. Now, this happens through heat flow, and heat flow in our equations is shown by Q. So what is the unit of heat flow? Well, heat, we said, is traveling energy. So it cannot have the units of energy. Heat is not energy, it's traveling energy. So when you say traveling energy, there's a time in that, right? So we're really referring to how fast our energy is moving from one point to another. So it does make sense that it should have the units of energy over time. How fast a certain amount of energy is transported in a given time. And we have actually a nice unit for this. So if we say joules and use second for this, well, this is watts. So electrical engineers use this unit for power, and power, in fact, is energy per unit time. It is basically referring to not just the energy difference, but how fast you absorb that energy or give up that energy. For instance, if you are climbing the stairs, you gain potential energy. But power refers to how fast you are climbing the stairs. If you go up and gain that energy in 1 second versus 10 seconds, that's what makes the difference between energy and power. And in this case, in the heat flow, we are referring to a movement of heat. You can look at that as energy increase at a certain point per time. Okay, so how does this happen? We said that we need a temperature differential for the heat to flow. Okay, so if we have a temperature differential, I can say that our heat flow should be proportional to that delta T. And then I should be able to come up with a parameter that describes the resistance of my block, rectangular block, to heat flow. Well, I assume that this resistance is going to be dependent on the properties of the material and as well as the dimensions of the material. I will call this thermal resistance of the material. Sorry, thermal resistance of the block. And we'll come back to that. So even though I got this equation by deduction, this indeed turns out to be the correct equation. So heat flow, given in watts, is proportional to the temperature differential divided by this quantity, thermal resistance, which measures the resistance of the block, the rectangular block, to heat flow. Well, actually, there is a very well-known equation for the world of electricity. And you all know that equation, that is current is equal to voltage divided by resistance. This is Ohm's law. So you can look at this as an electrical analog to heat flow. Current, flow of electrons, is very similar to heat. Flow of perhaps electrons. In the case of current flow, we are interested in the movement of charge. So electrons are moving, charge is moving. In the case of heat, electrons are moving, energy is moving. Of course, in the case of heat flow, it's not just electrons, you may have photons as well. But it's an electrical analog, and that works great. And voltage difference corresponds to temperature difference. And electrical resistance plays the same role as the thermal resistance. So it's a great electrical analog. So now let's go ahead and look at the thermal resistance. Well, to do that, I'm going to take a rectangular block with a length L and a cross-sectional area A, okay? And this material has thermal conductivity. Now, this is a material property, and this is measured in watts per meter Kelvin. And this material property varies greatly from, say, a conducting metal like gold or silver to insulators like mica and wood and plastics and all that. So it varies hugely. But also the dimensions of the piece should matter. Because if you use a longer block, well, obviously, heat will have more difficulty going through that. It has to travel a longer distance. Similarly, if you have a larger cross-sectional area, well, you have much more area to move the heat. Well, if you're thinking about lattice waves, for instance, you have all these atoms in parallel vibrating in this large area to move the heat. So I think I can construct this equation. So I'll say R theta, first of all, should be inversely proportional to the thermal conductivity, right? I mean, higher the conductance, lower the resistance. So it does make sense. And the longer the resistor, the larger the resistance must be. And similarly, the larger the area, the smaller the resistance. This is the equation of the thermal resistance of this block, and it doesn't have to be a rectangular block. The same equation applies to a cylindrical block as well. And again, this equation should look very familiar because for electrical resistance, we have a very similar equation. And that equation is... So let me rewrite this thermal resistance equation here, which is 1 over K times the length divided by cross-sectional area. For electrical resistance, we have R. Instead of conductivity, we typically use resistivity, but resistivity and conductivity are just inverse of each other, L times L divided by A. So it's actually the same equation. Okay, so this is electrical resistance and this is thermal resistance. So if you are very familiar with the electrical equations, it becomes very easy to remember the thermal equations because this is a great analog for the thermal system. As a matter of fact, if you are well-versed in electric circuit analysis, everything that you have learned in that analysis, and I'm referring to fundamental laws like Kirchhoff's voltage law, Kirchhoff's current law, Ohm's law, as we have seen, they all apply to thermal systems. And if you can construct an electrical analog circuit for the problem you have in hand, you can actually apply all that neat stuff to come up with a thermal model of your problem. So with these tools, we can describe the conduction in a solid fairly accurately. Of course, all these mechanisms that we talked about, the phonons and the electrons and the etc., all those determine the thermal conductivity of the material. So it goes without saying that the thermal conductivity of a semiconductor, for instance, is going to be a strong function of the doping density of the material. Without the doping, you will not have the electrons. You will have just phonons, which basically do not change with doping. So they will be there. But with the addition of electrons, now you have the new mechanism kicking in, and your thermal conductivity is going to be changing with the electron density, just like the electrical resistivity of the semiconductor changing with doping.